A few days ago, we got a press release from Sauti Sol titled "Sauti Sol Announces World Tour Before Taking an Indefinite Hiatus." It went something like, "We are excited to announce that Sauti Sol, Africa's sensational musical powerhouse, will embark on an exhilarating tour, stopping in 5 cities across the US, followed by 10 stops in Europe and 4 stops in Canada before taking an indefinite hiatus. This tour is a celebration of their remarkable journey, filled with excitement for the future and a testament to the enduring bond of friendship and partnership built over 20 years in the industry." This obviously raised eyebrows, and many concerned fans were wondering what happened. I'm here to tell you just that. What happened to our beloved Sauti Sol? The media ran with "Sauti Sol announces breakup" headlines all over the place, and it makes sense why they would do that in the first place. But to clarify, their statement never expressly said that they're breaking up. We all kind of read between the lines anyway. And after 5 albums, you kind of understand. There's Mwanzo from 2009, that's their debut. So Philosophia from 2011. The Mammoth, and I think career-defining Live and Die in Africa from 2015 with mega hits like Surayako, the title track in itself, still the one, even the controversial and sonically brilliant Nishike. I believe this one, the video was banned or something from King and TV, but that's a story for another day. African Source from 2019, that was like January 2019, and this one had all the hits. Like, when it comes to hits, I think this album was like the hit album. There was Melanin with Pacha Ranking, which could be their biggest track actually, I don't know. Short and Sweet with Nyashinsky, Love Again with Sequatro Pedro, produced by Keisha, African Star, and Girl Next Door with Tiwa Savage, Africa with Yemi Alade. This is the album that truly made them a continental powerhouse, and almost every single song was just a hit. And then finally, Midnight Train from June 2020, and which also had huge tunes like Susanna, one of their biggest hits to date, Insecure, Rumba Japani, which did more damage locally than anywhere else really, the title track in itself, how about the collabo with India Re, also produced by Keisha. It even had the weird but somehow catchy tribal rhythm on Disco Matanga with Shoma Josie and Black Motion. They've done it all. They have done it all. After Midnight Train did fairly well, they then put their foot off the gas. I am salty personally about that because it just felt like these guys are right at the top and everybody's talking about Sauti Sol and the music they're making, and they've really become the group that Kenya has exported like to the world, and they put their foot off the gas. I don't get it, but let's get into it. Yes, they were featuring on other people's songs after dropping Midnight Train. They were doing collabos locally and internationally. They were all releasing songs individually and still under the Sauti Sol page on YouTube, for example. But then under individual names elsewhere, BN became a huge solo brand on the African continent, working on projects by Black Bones, Ira Star, Darasa, Fully Focus, Jukes, Ben Sol, Yums, dropping a pretty successful EP with Aaron Rimbui. He also worked with DJ Edu, Joe Boy, King Promise. Man, BN is a name. His name holds weight on the continent. On top of that, Savara released an album, Savage Level, in 2022. Fancy Fingers released 2 albums in that time, Father Studies in 2021 and Potluck in 2022. And Potluck was more like, I think, an instrumental kind of album. Chimano released Heavy's the Crown in 2022. That's his album. So one thing they did together in that time was the YouTube working from home concert You can still check it out on their YouTube, actually. That was December 2021. And that was sponsored by the European Union. So I bet you the money was good. Too good to resist. Yeah. But really, they didn't release anything as Saudi Soul until November 2022, which was the catchy Lil Mama single, which did really well. So 2 years. That's a long time, you know, for them not to release music, well, together as Saudi Soul. And Lil Mama is almost at 2 million streams on Spotify currently. The audio slide on YouTube is at almost 4 million views. This is where I actually started to think, maybe these guys are no longer really into this Saudi Soul thing anymore. Because they didn't drop a music video for a song so good, which got such a good reception. And you don't know how crazy it is for anybody. You know what? Even at the top of the upper echelon of music, for you to go away for like 2 years and not really do anything and then just come back with a song and then people are like, damn, this is fire. And then you don't really push it to the level that you could. You don't make a music video and stuff. It's like, so what's up? They didn't drop a music video. And this is not a rookie mistake Saudi Soul would make anyway. But I think that was a really huge sign for me that things were not the same anymore. I wanted them to be pushing it. I wanted them to be doing more and saying, you know what? We've pursued our individual, creative passions in the music scene, but we're back. There's a whole other side I haven't even touched on yet. This is the establishment of the Soul Generation record label in 2019. And they kind of announced it with the song Extravaganza, which dropped mid-2019 with Ben Soul, Nvidia the Storyteller, Christo Asige, and Kaskazini. So that was the announcement that these four are part of Soul Generation Records. Christo Asige left in early 2020, didn't even last a year. So did Kaskazini, but that was a weird breakup in itself between the members initially. And two guys from that are now the duo Watenda Wheelie. I will go out on a limb to say Saudi Soul were at the absolute peak of their stardom between 2019 and 2020. Could even put 2018 in there. And basically they had superpowers. You couldn't touch those guys. Now imagine trying to balance the expectation of that, creating a record label and having four acts under your wing. You are now someone's boss, and the trajectory of their career is your responsibility, the money, blah, blah, blah. That in itself requires a huge shift. Which brings me to the next big milestone that Saudi Soul achieved in that time, which was inking a deal with Universal Music South Africa. And that was in January 2020. That definitely came with promises, expectations, and deliverables, which 2 years later were clearly not met and resulted in Saudi Soul leaving Universal Music South Africa. It's important to clarify that before and even after the January 2020 deal, Saudi Soul still worked and still works with Universal Music South Africa, who is their distributor. Different kind of deal, but they're not signed to them. That's the difference. When we look at the timeline, too many variables changed in a relatively short space of time, and that's all it takes in many cases of success. You hear about this in business. You scale too quickly, and it becomes a ship you can no longer steer in the direction you want until it hits something it shouldn't. In many cases, this creates friction and challenges the very concept of balance which Saudi Soul always had up until that point. This is really what happened to Saudi Soul. They achieved everything they could, particularly as a Kenyan group, and once they eyed a new kind of growth, the whole dynamic changed, and individually it challenged their very reasons for doing it together in the first place. Not even in a bad way, because this is what happens with growth. but it was also the timing. Think about it. We haven't even added the pandemic and lockdowns in there, with the group spending less time together, having to cancel a whole season of shows and the like. The writing was on the wall, my friends. Saudi Soul was never going to be the same again. One thing I've observed over the first two-year break that Saudi Soul has taken between 2020 and 2022 was they've done brilliantly throughout this time to maintain a great social presence and kept so many things on brand as Saudi Soul. This says something about the speculation that they've had a nasty falling out or whatever the case may be. You know how the media plays it. I am sure none of that happened. Why? Because if it did, they wouldn't be touring right now. If that was the case, they wouldn't all still be leveraging the Saudi Soul brand instead of, well, wanting nothing to do with it. These are the telltale signs that this is more about personal growth and finding meaning to their own individual lives than any speculative discontent. We do have to grant Saudi Soul some grace. They have been together as a group for 20 years. That, my friends, is a long, long time. And we have to ask ourselves some questions. Is it so bad that they are all at different places in their lives, or that they just want new challenges? I respect where they're going, what they've done, and the strong brand they've created, particularly for their home country, Kenya. If we put our own selfish interests aside for a second, it's now someone else's opportunity to fill the gap that Saudi Soul opened up since 2021. So far, I don't know if anyone has done enough to fly Kenya's flag as high in music right now. If there is, let me know which Kenyan artist do you think has a brand big enough as Saudi Soul's on the continent and across the world right now. Let me know in the comments. At the end of the day, Saudi Soul haven't broken up officially, and they might never do that. But the more time they spend on growing their individual selves musically than as a group, the more we all realize that Saudi Soul will never be the same again. Subscribe to the channel if you like this content. My name is MJ Omoto, son of Zimbabwe, signing out. Peace. Ndende.